So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Welcome in a Thursday edition of the Burgundy and Gold Today. You're tapped in to the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham, taking you up to 7 o'clock. Number to call us, 301-230-0980. Super producer Anthony Haney behind the glass taking your calls. If you want to keep the conversation going with me on social media, it is at NELL_BTP. Still getting you geared up for Commanders and Bears coming up on Monday Night Football. We got a loaded show for you. The professor, former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson, going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Talked a bunch with him about what happened Sunday against the Chargers and how sustainable it is for the Commanders moving forward. We also got a little bit of a preview in of Commanders and Bears as well, so you'll want to make sure you're sticking around in the 5 o'clock hour to hear my conversation with Logan Paulson. Top of the 6 o'clock hour, get a little bit of a national perspective on the Burgundy and Gold. Our pal Dalton Wasserman, Pro Football Focus, going to join us top of the 6 o'clock hour, getting to some of the advanced analytics surrounding the Washington Commanders and what they were able to accomplish last week in a, like I'm going to continue to say, a dominating victory over Justin Herbert in the Los Angeles Chargers. It is a Thursday, so we will hear from the coordinators of your Washington Commanders. Joe Witt Jr., Cliff Kingsbury, both speaking to the media this afternoon. And Joe Witt divulged some things this afternoon that I was pretty interested in. And we tried to tell you this, or I tried to tell you all this. Their issues that they had defensively against Atlanta, I thought was totally a personnel thing. But the more you hear Joe Witt talk, he kind of alluded to it this afternoon. It was a scheme issue on Sunday against the L.A. Chargers. When they went out and scored and was getting ready to drive for a third straight scoring possession, if Quan Martin doesn't force that fumble, who knows how we're talking about this team right now here on Thursday in preparation for Monday Night Football. But one thing that Joe Witt talked about was the schematic change that he made on Sunday afternoon. And I think that is going to be the key to unlocking this Washington Commanders defense throughout the duration of the season. So we'll talk about that when we get into the coordinators a little bit later on here in the program. I do have an injury report for you, right? This is just kind of common practice here. This is the beautiful spot about being in this hole, in this slot, so to speak. We can start off with an injury report each and every show. Here's the thing about this week's injury report. They didn't have to give one yesterday because technically today is the first practice of the practice week. They'll practice Thursday. They'll practice Friday. They will practice Saturday. Today's injury report, let me just tell you, and then I'll tell you how I feel about it afterwards. 3 DNPs today. Terry McLaurin, quad. Chris Rodriguez, calf. Did he even play on Sunday?
Yeah, he did. He got the snaps at the end of the game.
And he got hurt in that limited action. So he was a DNP with a calf. Debo Samuel, they're calling it a rest day, but they listed him with the heel as well. He was also a DNP. not concerned. I think they've put Debo in that veteran category of he don't really got to practice. If there's something that's even bothering him in the slightest bit, they're going to err on the side of caution because they know what they're going to get from him on game day. I have no problem with that. This one, it crushed my soul. But brother is a tough ass, so I think he'll fight through it. John Bates limited with a shoulder injury. Noah Brown limited with a groin and a knee injury. And then Sam Cosmi, once again, a full participant. Jaden Daniels, a full participant. I am surprised that Jaden is even still listed on the injury report. That I did not expect to see him on there. I know they're listing him as a full participant, but the fact that he was on there, period, a little bit interesting to me. I want to talk about the Terry McLaurin thing here. Before we get into that, though, this came out this morning. The latest on Terry McLaurin from NFL Network's Ian Rappaport.
Washington Commanders does not seem like they are going to have the services of one of their top receivers. Terry McLaurin, who's been battling a hip flexor injury, officially called a quad, more like a hip flexor, though. He was not at practice yesterday for the Commanders again because he missed last week. Does not bode well for his status on Sunday. You would think that to be able to play in the game, he'd have to have a full practice. Has not even had a limited practice yet since his injury. Not looking good, the Monday nighter against the Bears, but obviously we will see if he's there at practice today.
He was not there at practice today, as he was a DMP. So according to our pal Nikki Javala of The Athletic, he was working on the side field, doing some uphill sprinting, doing some stuff with a resistance band. Here is my thing on Terry McLaurin. I do not want him back until he is as close to 100% as possible. Let's be real, right? I think based off of the way that this offense has functioned without Terry McLaurin, I am confident in erring on the side of caution and allowing him to get fully healthy. They're calling it a hip flexor. We've heard sports hernia. We've heard quad. I don't think anyone knows the true severity of McLaurin's injury, but I will say this. The fact that this has prevented him from playing in three consecutive games or two consecutive games, talking about Atlanta and L.A., and then it doesn't look like he's going to be able to give it a go this week, I think it is something more significant than they are divulging. And that is just the behavior that AP and DQ have exhibited here. We're treating ourselves like we're the Patriots, right? And I'm okay with that. Makes the job a little bit more difficult, right? Makes me have to speculate and show off my Montgomery County Public Schools education a little bit more. Some investigative reporting, some investigative journalism. But at the end of the day, I like them playing it coy. I get it. I get what they're doing. I get what they're trying to do. My thing is this, though. It's frustrating, for one, that the team is in this spot, right? I think the fact that he's dealing with this soft tissue injury, you have to go back and look at him not participating in training camp and go, damn, this is a cat that hasn't missed many games throughout the span of his 8-year career to this point. Now he's in jeopardy of missing his third consecutive game. You have to look back and say, well, damn, was it worth it? For Terry McLaurin, I think it was 110% worth it. He wanted his money. He was dug in. I'm looking at the Commanders and asking, is it worth it? Because the functionality of this offense, while they've looked good to this point, while it's worked to this point, you have to wonder how much longer you can survive life without Terry McLaurin. But as long as you can continue to run the football the way that you are, I think you'll be good. But I will continue to reiterate this. I need Terry McLaurin at 1,000% because I don't want this to be something that lingers throughout the course of the season. And this is what we were talking about on the phone. And this is why I would have just been like, you know what, Slim? Hey, you're out 4 weeks at least. Put him on injured reserve. Open up that roster spot. Give yourself the ability to make yourself better as a football team, not playing this limbo game. The fact that they have not put him on injured reserve, that's why people were thinking Chicago was a possibility. This is the third week. If he doesn't play this week, are we feeling much better about him on a short week against Dallas next week? That's my whole thing. The injured reserve convo has got to come up here because you got to wonder why they didn't do it.
I mean, I think it's a fair question. I also feel as though, I mean, after the second opinion, him not having to, you know, I guess get surgery or surgery wasn't required, maybe they didn't feel as though the injury was as severe as it's, you know, been. Or we don't know. It could have been a setback. We don't know.
That's the thing. It could have been a setback. Things could have happened. But I just look at it like this. I'm frustrated that we're in this situation. But do you agree with me on this, Ant? Because Washington has functioned at such a high clip minus Terry McLaurin, I'm in the camp now of let him get 110% healthy. Don't play this game where you bring him back prematurely and then he re-injures himself and then this lingers throughout the course of the season. That is not the ideal set of circumstances. And what do we continue to talk about? We need him for November and December. If he's got to miss all of October to get himself at 110%, then that's what I'm willing to do, because I'll take it a step further. They need Terry McLaurin to reach their full potential offensively. Without him, I know we've seen Deebo Samuel get used as a deep threat. Not something I want to live by. I know we have seen Luke McCaffrey get behind the defense as a deep threat. Not something I necessarily want to live by. But the fact of the matter is this. You need Terry McLaurin. As good as it's looked, and I'm the first guy to give you credit for how you've looked offensively. Exotic smash mouth football. They're running the hell out of the football. They're punching people in the face. You get to a whole nother level, right, when Terry McLaurin's brought back into the fold. And when he is brought back into the fold, I don't want it to be a situation where he's in and out of the lineup, because you want him 110% healthy as he could possibly be for the stretch run of your season.
I hear what you're saying.
I'm in no rush to bring him back. Yeah, is what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying. I think when he's ready to play, I think that's when we bring. Bro, we have a tough schedule. We have a tough schedule ahead. And also, you're relying on these young guys, the Luke McCaffreys, the Jalen Lanes, the Ja'Cory Kroski-Maris.
And that what we drafted consistent. Them for?
Grant, I hear that. I'm just saying, you're relying on those guys to be consistent. So if they actually can exceed their expectations, be consistent, yeah. You know, be valuable contributors to the game, obviously I'm with it, but I need to see more. Like one game against the Chargers, like I need more than that.
Just one game against the Chargers, though. And they scored 27 against Atlanta.
You're right.
And lost. Like they've shown a clear ability.
But I think Deebo, mm-hmm. If you look at Jaden's passing chart,
yeah,
Deebo got 11 targets.
He's getting force fed the football.
He got 11 targets of the 23 that he threw. So I'm just saying, like nobody else got more than two targets.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because you had seven different guys come up with a reception this past weekend.
Yeah,
the fact that they're learning to function without him is good. Is what I will say.
Yeah, I feel you.
It's a spicy situation, man. I am eager for his return. There's another young man I'm eager to see return to the playing field as well. It is Commanders guard Sam Cosmi. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I do want to let you all hear from Sam Cosmi. He spoke to Scott Abraham of ABC7 yesterday and gave a little bit of an update on when he will be back. We'll play that for you next right here on the Team 980.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford, and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Just getting rolling here on this Thursday edition of the Burgundy and Gold Today. You're tapped into the youngest in charge, Noah Willingham, taking you up to 7 o'clock in the 5 o'clock hour. Former Redskins tight end, co-host of the Take Command podcast with our pal Grant Paulson. Logan Paulson going to join the program. We get his thoughts on how the Commanders were able to dominate the L.A. Chargers for the better part of 60 minutes. And then we'll also get a little bit of a Bears and Commanders preview as well. We'll ask Logan the number one thing that concerns him for this Washington defense as they prepare for a Bears offense that, if you haven't been paying attention, because I know a lot of us only follow our team, I think the Bears are a really difficult group to deal with offensively because of their strengths and Washington's weaknesses. We'll get to what the number one key is for this Commanders defense against Chicago as we roll throughout the program here. But we're going to talk about Caleb Williams coming up here momentarily as well, because I think the narrative surrounding him is honestly ludicrous. Like, he is, to me, one of the more over-scrutinized quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think there are a lot of people rooting for him to fail. And now that he's actually with an adult, and he's got an adult in the room, talk about Ben Johnson, you're seeing him show some of the traits that made him the number one overall pick a season ago. We'll get into a little bit of Caleb versus Jaden here in this opening hour as well. But I do want to get the latest on Commanders guard Sam Cosmi, who had his 21-day practice window opened up last weekend, and he didn't play Sunday, obviously, against the L.A. Chargers. And his status for this week, still up in the air. Here is Cosmi talking with our pal Scott Abraham of ABC7 about where he is in his return to play.
Do you think you might play on Monday?
Yeah, you know, I felt good. Today was a good day of practice. You kind of like the nervous system's still getting used to it. So honestly, I'm taking it day by day. Tomorrow, if we do have padded practice with me, my first padded practice of the whole year. So I'm just trying to get the nervous system to get, you know, rolling. I'm talking to DQ and AP, you know, thoroughly through it. But I feel like if it's not this week, it'll be versus Dallas.
Who makes that decision? Is that you, or is it, you know, do you?
It's like a collective discussion, you know. Based off of how everything's gone and you know, the progression of everything, you know. So, we're talking through it. Like I said, taking each day and every single practice and just seeing how it does and how it feels. And, again, like, my nervous system's still getting used to. So I'm pushing it. I'm pushing it to practice, taking as many reps as I can, you know, to get in shape as fast as possible, you know. So I mean, I feel like I'm in shape, but like, it's a different stimulus from going and blocking a bag to a person and hitting and doing all that. It's completely different. So from not having done that for 8 months, it's different.
You mentioned the padded practice. How important is it that you have to have that padded practice before you suit up?
I mean, it would be nice. It would be nice. Selfishly, But if not, you know, well, it is what it is.
Sam Cosmi sounds like a dude that is chopping at the bit to get back on the field, and I'm starting to wonder whether or not this week is actually going to be the week. Here is the thing I would say about when he eventually returns to the lineup, when he eventually returns to action. The number one beneficiary, I think, of Sam Cosmi returning to the lineup is actually going to be Josh Connerly. I think that is the guy that benefits the most from this. And now the offensive line that we talked about this summer, minus Brandon Coleman, obviously, is starting to come to fruition. And when I think about the fact that he hasn't played a down yet, when I think about the fact that he has not practiced yet, really, in a fully padded capacity, to think that this Commanders offensive line has ran roughshod the way that they have throughout the first 5 weeks of the season, minus arguably their second-best offensive lineman, I think it's tremendous. I really do. I cannot speak highly enough of Bobby Johnson, the offensive line coach, getting these guys to play up to their standard. And then this is the DOC's guy, his other guy. I know he's a big Chris Paul fan. He's also a big Laramie Tunsil fan. And I love the way that Doc described Laramie Tunsil the other day. Laramie Tunsil had a choice to make when he came here to D.C. Were you going to be a guy that was happy with just making Pro Bowls? Or do you want to be a gold jacket guy? Do you want to have your name in Canton forever? Or do you want to be forgotten about when your playing career ends? And Laramie Tunsil to this point this year, that left side of this Commanders offensive line, Tunsil and Chris Paul are absolutely destroying people in the run game. We give you the numbers all the time. The Washington Commanders, fourth in the National Football League in terms of rushing yards before contact, a.k.a. throwing people out of the club on a routine basis. Super-duper excited about it. You add Cosmi back to this equation, and now we're talking about the Washington Commanders reaching their ceiling offensively for the 2025 season. I'm fired up about it. Here's what I do love, though. Remember in years past when you're waiting for a guy to come back, it's like, come on, Sam. Because you don't have trust in the dudes that are currently replacing him. Not the case at all. Chris Paul's gotten a lot of the credit, and deservedly so. He has been an absolute baller since he's been inserted into the starting lineup. But Andrew Wiley on the right side, holding it down, doing his job to the best of his ability, making Josh Connerly's life a little bit easier. I've been impressed by the Commanders offensive line, but just imagine when they get the big boy back. Imagine when they get the Pro Bowler Sam Cosmi back. Super duper excited about it. Here's the thing about this weekend's matchup in particular, going up against the Chicago Bears and what they do well and what they don't do well as an offense and as a defense. For this week in particular, I think you can handle life without Sam Cosmi. The Bears' rush defense is ranked 31st in the National Football League. They struggle to fit runs. They struggle to tackle. It's not a very good defense, if I'm being honest with you. Now, I respect the hell out of their defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, one of the most respected defensive minds in the National Football League. He's a dog, good coach. But I think in terms of, like, when you should bring him back, this weekend's not needed. You know where I do want him? I'd love to have him against Dallas when you're going up against Kenny Clark and Oso Digizuwa, guys that can penetrate upfield and make life difficult for you on the interior. But I wanted to let you hear from Sam Cosmi because we've heard a lot about when he's going to come back to the lineup. Hearing it from his mouth hits a little bit different. I'll shoot my shot here and say he doesn't play Monday against Chicago, but he does return the following week in Dallas against the Cowboys. That would be the best-case scenario for the Washington Commanders. 301-230-0980, the number here on this Thursday edition of the Burgundy and Gold. Today you're tapped in to the youngest in charge, Zano Willingham, taking you up to 7 o'clock. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the quarterbacks in this matchup. Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels, the number 1 and 2 overall pick from last year's draft going head-to-head for the second time in their career. When we come back, I'll tell you why the gap in talent between Jayden Daniels and Caleb Williams not as big as some of your favorite pundits will lead you to believe. That is next here on the Team 980. 301-230-0980 is the number. A Thursday edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. Getting you warmed up for Monday night's big-time showdown between the Washington Commanders and the Chicago Bears. Ironically enough, Peter Schrager right now on NFL Live talking about the young man we're about to get into here, Caleb Williams. And here's why I wanted to talk about Caleb Williams. And I want you to chime in on this as well, because we have had some very passionate off-air conversations about our thoughts about the number one overall pick. I think the narrative surrounding Caleb Williams, and maybe I'm wrong, but it's just how I see other folks talk about him. If you were to just read the press clippings, you would think Caleb Williams, and I'm losing or struggling to find a better word here. If you were to just read the press clippings, you would think that Caleb Williams is a bum. I think that is the way that people talk about him. People talk about him as if he just doesn't have a whole lot of ability. Let me tell you this. Last year was last year for Caleb Williams, right? It is what it is. 17 games as a starter, threw for 3,500 yards, completed about 63% of his passes, 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, but he was sacked 68 times a season ago. Caleb Williams last year was sacked 68 times. I think most people, and that number was the most in the National Football League by 16 sacks. Next closest guy was Caleb Williams. And that speaks to the number one Achilles heel that folks talk about with him when they're evaluating his game, that is holding on to the football too long. That is a real issue. And I think all young quarterbacks deal with that. I don't know why it is, for whatever reason, hyperbolized with Caleb. Like it is some damning flaw that he's never going to be able to overcome, that he's never going to be able to get right with. That's not the case at all. Because when you look at him this year, right, in terms of quarterback sacks, in terms of quarterback pressures, he is one of, and we've been saying it, he is one of the least pressured quarterbacks in the National Football League. He has been pressured on 47 dropbacks this year. That is the seventh fewest in the National Football League. Meaning what? He's getting the football out on time for the most part. Now, he still is leading the NFL in time to throw, right? That's still a thing. But it's the byproduct, to me, of Ben Johnson's offense. And when I look at Caleb Williams and I evaluate Caleb Williams, I grade him on a curve for this year. Let's just give you the numbers. 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, completing right around 63% of his passes, 7 yards per attempt, the 8 touchdowns, the 2 picks, love that. He's playing well for the most part, man. Specifically over the last 2 weeks, he's really playing well. Where he is dangerous at is outside of the pocket. He's got a 76.7 QBR outside of the pocket. That is the 9th best in the National Football League. That is where he is deadly. That is where he can kill you. I still think he has got a bunch of Patrick Mahomesian-like tendencies. From a talent standpoint, you can make the argument this is the most talented quarterback that Washington has had to face this year, talking about Caleb Williams, right? Russell Wilson can't hold his jockstrap. Jordan Love, I think, if you were to poll all 32 GMs throughout the National Football League and ask, would you rather, in an ideal set of circumstances, if you're looking to start a franchise, would you rather have Caleb or Jordan Love? You would be surprised at the amount of execs that will tell you, yeah, give me Caleb, give me the freak show. He is one of the most physically gifted cats in the National Football League. The narrative around this kid, to me, is silly. And y'all know how I am, and I wear it on my sleeve. Last year, during the pre-draft process, what did I say? I'm no Denton Day. I'm no Kevin Sheehan. I stick to my guns. Not saying that they don't stick to their guns, but they were on Jayden Daniels, Denton Day in particular, from the get-go. He thought he would be the better pro. I think the jury is still out in terms of who is going to be the better pro. And the one thing that I don't get when we, and this is what I get for reading Commander's Twitter and dumb thoughts that are out there in the ether. There is this narrative that there is some major talent gap between him and Jaden Daniels. I don't think that's the case at all. I think if you would have put Caleb Williams here last year instead of Jaden Daniels in this structure with this supporting cast, he would have been able to take them just as far.
I respectfully disagree.
Yeah, but that and let's bring you in, because that's the frustrating part about this for me. What is the major difference between the two? And I know you're a big proponent of, like, well, what Jaden is able to do from the neck up.
That's huge.
It is big.
That's huge.
It's big. I give it to you.
That is what playing the quarterback position is in today's NFL. What can you do and, you know, see pre-snap? How do you think Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, that's what they did. They diagnosed what they saw before the play and then was able to attack defenses. Like, come on, bro.
So my thing is this then.
I believe Jaden's, you know, super ability. Like, come on.
It's his super ability when it's his super ability. It wasn't his super ability Thursday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers.
Hold on.
When he was lost in the sauce.
We're talking about
the
Packers
game. It was having to hold the football.
No. We're talking about the Packers game where we both agree that Cliff and Joe Witt both got out coach.
For sure.
Okay, so you're talking about...
Have that same energy
okay. When
you're evaluating Caleb Williams' rookie season.
No, that's one game. No, we're talking about one
this
game.
This is the entirety of a season.
We're talking about
for
one
Caleb.
Game.
This is the entirety of last year for Caleb. He was put in a position that even the most talented of young quarterbacks wouldn't have been able to succeed. Honestly.
I think coaching last year definitely was part
you
of the problem.
You wouldn't believe the text that I just got. I hope you love your girl like you love Caleb. True ride or die-ish from our good friend of the program.
You really just said Caleb would have been able to take us.
No, okay, far. Okay, listen.
You did. If he was in this system, he would have been able to take the commander just as far.
I am saying the number one determining factor of a young quarterback having success in the National Football League is fit. All of these guys come out of college with boatloads of talent. That is why they're in that conversation. Last year, Caleb was put in a spot, and I know about the Ty Dunn hit piece where he interviewed a bunch of guys that are no longer with the organization. Kiss my ass. This narrative and the way that folks evaluate him and talk about him in the media, you would think the kid is a damn football devil. He is overly scrutinized. He's not given enough credit. You can't name me eight quarterbacks right now in the NFL that are more physically gifted than this kid.
You keep talking about his physical talent. Yes, that is
what
plus.
Makes it's his number one trait.
Okay.
He can do things with his arm and with his legs that other guys simply cannot do. You're seeing it here in the last 2 weeks.
Linnell,
Caleb
what is
Williams,
the game of football, Linnell? It's 90% mental, 10% physical, bro. I just told you.
But this is my thing, though, Ant. This is my thing. Are you willing to, I'm not saying totally omit what happened last year with him, but Ryan Poles looks like a total dweeb.
Okay.
You don't bring in and draft a rookie quarterback knowing you're getting ready to blow out the whole staff a year in. They're making his job more difficult. And he still showed tremendous flashes last year despite being on a team that was not very talented and he was not well coached. This kid's got it. You wait and watch him progress with Ben Johnson, an actual adult, as his play caller and his offensive coordinator and the guy that's going to teach him. You're only going to see him continue to get better. He's got all the talent in the world. When he puts it all together and the way he's looking, it may be sooner rather than later. When he puts it all together, we're going to be talking about him as a top 5 to 7 quarterback in his league.
Hey, Linnell,
he's got those type of tools. You see it week in and week out. The last 2 weeks in particular. Now, albeit, right, it's against, what was it, Vegas and Dallas? You can't determine who your opponent is.
Yeah.
We dealt with this last year with Jaden.
Yep.
But it's the clear growth and development that he's showing that I get intrigued about. And think about it this year, what he's doing. No running game. They're the worst rushing offense in football. He's having to put the team on his back. We know one of the premier staples of Ben Johnson's offense is the play-action passing game. The Bears can't run it. So how the hell do you survive and win off of play action when you have no success running the football? They are the most penalized offense in the NFL. So he's constantly playing behind the sticks, having to play hero ball. Not his fault. Not his fault.
Hey, Linnell,
y'all killed me with this.
Hey, look, I love the passion that you have for, you know, Caleb Williams. I am not a Caleb Williams hater. You're directing a lot of your, I guess, frustration and anger at me. All I'm here to tell you is I think Jaden Daniels was a little bit more pro-ready last year. And I think he's still ahead of Caleb Williams right now in his development. But
for sure.
I'm not disputing any talent that Caleb Williams has or the player that he can grow into be. I think Ben Johnson's definitely going to coach him up and, you know, expedite the...
Can I ask you this, not to cut you?
Go ahead.
How would he have looked last year in this system with this structure with what Washington has? I think you could have dropped any of the quarterbacks.
No.
I'm not trying to discredit Jaden. They would have. I'm not saying they would have went all the way to the NFC Championship game, but you would have left the season with some of the same feels you have about Jaden. That hey, we've got our franchise quarterback. We had the infrastructure that was in place here for Jaden. It just Caleb's situation just was nowhere near this.
Illinois, when we started the season last year, it was a lot of quick game, right? Getting the ball out of his hand.
Yes.
Caleb doesn't do that, dude. He doesn't take a three-step drop and deliver the ball. He's slowly but surely trying to, you know.
Why was the quick passing game working for? Why did we run so much quick game? Because Cliff is going to play to the strengths of his quarterback. He would have played to the strengths of Caleb.
I mean, it was also the offensive line that was in front of Jaden, like
a big part of it as well.
That was part of it as well.
So you don't think he would have been able to function here last year? Are you kidding?
I'm not saying he wouldn't have been. I think it would have been a learning curve for sure. But I think Jaden still, in this system, would have been better than Caleb. That is my point.
Glad we got to flush this out. Because, no, we've been talking about this for the past couple of days. And it's not like I'm trying to simp for Caleb Williams.
But you don't like the slander that he gets. He gets the hate.
I don't think he is talked about in the light that he should. And our guy, Kay Johnson, tweets at us and says, listen to the show. I look at Caleb Williams, same as Arch Manning. Too much is given, much is expected. Not their fault, but it is what it is. And with the season Jaden had last year, that put pressure on him. Totally. I will say this, and we'll wrap it up, and we'll open up to the callers on this at 301-230-0980. I will finish off with this. To me, the jury is still out about who is going to be the best quarterback from 2024 5 years from now.
Who's winning the race?
I think Jaden's in the driver's seat right now. I think Drake May has shown a lot of good stuff.
Yep.
If I was to, well, you know what? Let's do that on the other side. 301-230-0980. How big do you think there is a major talent gap? That's what I want to get on here. Is there a major talent gap between Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick from last year and the number two overall pick from last year? When we come back, me and Anthony, let's rank the six quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round of 2024. We'll do that next.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
We had to put a fire extinguisher to the microphone after the way the last segment went. 301-230-0980 is the number. Right here on a Thursday edition of the Burgundy and Gold Today. Youngest and Charles and O. Willingham alongside Anthony Haney taking you up to 7 o'clock. Logan Paulson going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. But what we're chewing on right now is this. How big is the gap? I finally figured out how to phrase it. Oh, Lord. They just got Paul Pierce for DUI. That's a shame that that's what's coming to my timeline right now. But no, how big is the talent gap between or the gap between Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams? I think you made a tremendous point, and I want to give you your flowers for it. Where I think the separating factor that exists between those two is what Jaden is able to do from the neck up, and that's very important. I'm not trying to underscore that at all, but I think Caleb, in the situation he was drafted into last year, did not do him any favors in that category. It just didn't. I know the hit piece that came out about he didn't know how to watch film, so on and so forth, and people are upset about Caleb. He's more scrutinized than others because he's this new age quarterback. People were getting ready to riot, and you remember when the narrative, when Wickersham put it in the book, that his father and him was talking about trying to bypass Chicago to come to Washington. Or Minnesota was the other place because he had a really good relationship with KOC. Stuff like that is coloring the coloring the picture of how people look at this kid. The fingernail painting, him crying in his mom's arm, like all that stuff that is non-football related is going into the evaluation process of him. The kid is a pro's pro, man. He's a pro's pro. From everything that I hear, and obviously I got a little bit of a bias in the situation because of our folks down at Athletic Republic, his representation, quote unquote, guys that have been with him throughout the duration of his career, getting a chance to catch up with them and really understand who Caleb is as a man and as a person. This kid was raised the right way, always good in school, stand up dude, not like a jerk. The Shedeur Sanders stuff that we're hearing about him, he's done stuff to make people look at him like an arrogant piece of crap. That is not Caleb's character. It's not who he is at all. I think the situation that he was put in last year relative to the one that Jaden was placed into put him behind the curveball naturally. The best quarterback from the 2024 class after 1 year is Jaden Daniels. And I think by season's end, we'll still be talking about Jaden as the best guy. But I do think there will be more of an argument that, hey, I know we love Drake May in New England, right? I know we love Bo Nix in Denver. But, hey, this Caleb Williams kid can play. To me, the number one determining factor of young QB success is fit. And I think his fit last year in Chicago wasn't very good. 301-230-0980 is the number. Let's go to the real Rooster out in Hagerstown. What's going on, Rooster?
Well, now, look, man, you are a football wizard, right? I'm not going to doubt that. But let me tell you something. There is no way that kid Caleb comes in here and runs that offense the way that Jaden did. There's no way. Jaden took 47 sacks last year. He had 68, almost 20 sacks more.
He doesn't get the ball out on time. He doesn't know when to run. Jaden is so much smarter, so much brighter, so much more talented.
I think I hear what you're saying on that. And I would say this, too, and I mentioned this in the opening about this, Rooster. Jaden Daniels also had the support of a running game in his first year here in D.C. Jaden Daniels had the support of one of the best put-together offensive coaching staffs in the NFL. Now, here is where I know Jaden has the advantage from the neck up. His use of virtual reality, which he's been doing since his, second year at his first year at LSU, like, that stuff is going to put him ahead of Caleb mentally. I give you that. But you think the talent gap is, like, massive between those two?
No, I don't think it's massive, but I don't agree with what you said about that he could have came in here and took us as far as Jaden did. There's no way in heck. No way.
Yeah.
No way. Because, like I said, he doesn't read defenses like Jaden does. He doesn't do check downs like Jaden does. And he holds the ball too long.
Yeah.
Run game or not, he's not as talented as Jaden. I'm sorry. He's our hometown boy. I love him to death. But he is no Jaden Daniels. And there's no other quarterback that came out of that class of 2025 that is a Jaden Daniels.
I can give you that. Rooster, I appreciate you as always, brother. And tag back in here because now I want to ask you. Am I phrasing this the right way? Is the talent gap, this is where I'm taking his mental ability away. I'm not. That's a part of it, though.
Are you talking about the guy's physical abilities, his stature,
stature, arm talent, elusiveness, arm talent. He's on the same level as Jaden in all of those categories. Jaden's a more fluid and dynamic runner, I guess. But like, bro,
is he as accurate?
Is he as accurate?
I mean, we saw
look,
the
he's
the,
had
the,
he's,
the
he's
video,
had struggles with accuracy. He's had struggles, but dude, this is where you're killing me because it's like, okay, I ain't saying he's perfect.
I'm not saying he is,
but to act like okay, let's put it like this. If
do you love this guy?
No, it's not that I love him. It's not that I love him. It's just. I guess I have a soft spot for him.
Clearly.
I guess I have a soft spot for him because I think the way the media covers him and the way he's talked about, it makes it seem like the kid's stuck on stupid and is out there playing backyard football 24/7. That's not who he is.
You want to know why, though? It's because of his three-year run in college.
Look at Patrick freaking Mahomes. Mitch Trubisky got taken over this kid because they were worried about his ability to play within structure. The hell with that. He is one of these special cats that can make ridiculous throws. He can get you out of bad situations. He will make an offensive coordinator right more times than not.
Okay, we want to see you produce, though. Last year, he looked bad.
He looked bad?
Mahomes, year one playing. Granted, he had a year to sit.
Where did he get drafted to? He got drafted to Kansas City,
sitting behind Alex Smith.
Exactly.
Watch, learn. He also had a good head coach. Who can, you know, put him in position to go out there and be successful?
That's my point.
You already just said, you said earlier that Caleb was in a bad situation last year.
Do you agree with that?
So this year, I agree.
Okay.
This year, we need to see
the progression.
Exactly.
What you seen thus far?
We need to see it.
8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 7 yards of completion.
But you also know what makes Patrick Mahomes special?
What's that?
What's between the ears?
From the neck up. Why is he special between the ears now?
I mean, I guess because of
where he's been. 301-230-0980. We see your calls on the line. We'll get to you on the other side of the break. How big is the talent gap between Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams? That's next here on the Team 980.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free.
National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover's accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.